Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a Victory Monday, September 21st, 2020. And our next guest hosts a show down in Louisiana on 104.5 ESPN, 1130 The Tiger, Cox Sports TV. He is an NFL analyst on Sirius XM. He won a national championship under Les Miles with LSU and played for the Chargers and the Broncos, and had the tweet of Clyde Edwards as the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that I retweeted week one, and so that right at the top of his resume. And I went on his show to talk about the Chiefs. Now he's coming on our show to talk about the Chiefs. We have Jacob Hester on the show. Jacob, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing this morning?
Doing fantastic. Thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. And so you, as I mentioned, you do a show down in Louisiana in 11 states on Cox Sports TV, and you reached out to me to come on the show because your station actually carries Chiefs games because they're so popular down there with LSU fans because of Tyrann Mathieu, because of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Darrell Williams. And so there's a little bit of a Chiefs fan base down in Louisiana now, isn't there?
Oh, there certainly is. And one of them, maybe the biggest one in Baton Rouge, is in my old house with my seven-year-old Hudson. So it's funny, you know, I play for the Chargers, I play for the Broncos. So I've got a son that's a Chargers fan, I got a Broncos fan, and one of my sons is a Chiefs fan. So
there we
it's
go.
Really taking over Baton Rouge. Yeah, it's taking over Baton Rouge. It's funny, we were having our meetings about, you know, which team should we carry outside of the Saints. Obviously, the Saints are about 70 miles down the road, and we were having those conversations. Should it be the Bengals because of Joe Burrow? Should it be the Chiefs because of Clyde and Tyrann and Darrell, like you mentioned? And the Chiefs won out. So, yeah, there's definitely some Chiefs fans down here in Baton Rouge. I know my house was a little conflicted yesterday during the game, and I told my oldest son, who's a Chargers fan, hey, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. Don't get your hopes up. And sure enough, it did.
Okay, let's talk about these. I want to bring a few things full circle here because you're talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We are already all on board the hype train for Clyde Edwards-Helaire here in Kansas City, and he's an LSU guy like you. But also, here in Kansas City, we used to watch a young Darren Sproles tear up the high school scene in Kansas City and then at K-State. You once sprang a block for Darren Sproles in a wild card game for a game-winning touchdown against the Colts in 2008. So we can tie it all together because that's one of the comps we heard about Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out of college was you might see a little Darren Sproles in him. Do you see that? And what maybe similarities or differences do you see in these two running backs?
Yeah, so I guess the one difference was, you know, Darren at top-end speed was one of the faster guys in the league. Now, Clyde is plenty fast enough to be able to play, obviously, at a very high level. But that's a little bit of a difference. Now, I would also say Darren maybe didn't have the spin moves and some of the jump cuts that you're going to see with Clyde. But as far as, you know, how are they similar, I don't think people realize how strong they are, right? Mm-hmm. You see the size, and you just assume, oh, he's a shorter guy. He's not going to be strong. He's going to be a scat back. Darren Sproles might have been one of the strongest guys that I've ever played with. He is, in fact, the best pass pro guy that I ever played with. I'm talking about my entire career, not just in the NFL, because he understood leverage. He understood that if I'm lower than you, you're not going to be able to get to my quarterback. And I think that Clyde's the same way, right? And Devin White told me this about Clyde really before he was even a starter at LSU. He said, you know, because of his size, you kind of lose him a little bit behind the lineman. And he said, once he gets on you, he's so strong that you can't really get a good hit on him. He's going to put his head in your chest, and he's going to drive you back for a couple of yards. And, you know, that's Devin White, one of the best linebackers in the NFL, top five NFL draft choice. And that was before Clyde even really was a starter at LSU. And he's exactly right. Just because, yeah, he's 5'7", that does not mean he's not one of the strongest guys on the team. And I think we saw that in week one against the Texans. I know they had the goal line situations there, but listening to the Chiefs coaches, that was more about reading the keys than obviously having – power is a power back, and so I think they're definitely always going to get underestimated as far as how powerful they can be.
Jacob Hester is our guest. Before we talk more about the LSU Chiefs, I want to ask you about that game yesterday because you said your house is conflicted and you're telling your son that's a Chargers fan. You're trying to prepare him for the inevitable. And so look, from our vantage point, we're watching this thing – and it gets to overtime, and I understand that the Chargers were at their own 34, but fourth and one, to me, you got to go for it. You have a better chance of making it fourth and one than stopping Mahomes in overtime, especially after he'd gone 10 or 14 for 144 yards in the fourth quarter. I mean, that doesn't sound like that's conventional football wisdom, but you kind of got to throw that out against a guy like Mahomes, right? I mean, fourth and one, you got to go for it. Don't punt it to the Chiefs because the game's over then, right?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you, right? You always tell players, hey, know your personnel. Know who you're going against. Well, Charger staff, know who you're going against. You're going against the best quarterback in the NFL. And once you punt it back to them, all they need is a field goal, as we saw with the game winner there, right? So be aggressive. Yes, I understand that you've got a rookie quarterback and a guy that didn't know he was going to start. In fact, I actually probably think that's a positive, that Herbert didn't know he was going to be the starter really until game time, because you don't really allow yourself to think about it too much. And Austin Eckler had some really good success on the ground. So you had options there. You've got a really good tight end in Hunter Henry. I like going for it there just because you have to know your opponent. There was no way that the Chiefs weren't going to at least get a field goal, right? Because Mahomes started to find it. The offense has started to find their groove. It took them a little bit longer, right? They waited until the fourth quarter, but they found that groove. They got into overtime. If you're the Chargers, right, you had a top five draft pick a year ago. You're a team that went through injuries last year. You got some guys back. You feel like you've won. You beat the Bengals on the road. Go for it in that situation, because the last thing you want to do is give it back to Mahomes' offense. And so I was surprised they didn't go for it there, and I realize that if you don't get it, they're going to get the ball right there. But like I said, it's inevitable. You knew that the Chiefs were going to be able to drive down there and get the field goal.
Let's talk about Herbert for a second. You mentioned you thought maybe it was a benefit for him to just find out at the last minute he was going to be starting. But overall, what did you think of his performance, considering this is a rookie that had no rookie camp, no real preseason games to play in? What did you think of his performance overall?
Yeah, look, I've been impressed with a couple of rookie quarterbacks with the things you just mentioned. You didn't have a preseason. You didn't have OTAs. You didn't have minicamp. So you didn't have all of those things that you normally have to try to get ready for the NFL, because that's a huge jump. Now, the speed of the game, if you play in the SEC or if you play in big-time college football, the speed of the game is not as great as people say. You know, you get to the NFL and your head's just spinning. Your head's spinning because all the mental aspects of it, trying to learn coverages, trying to learn disguises and blitz pickups and where people are coming from. And so I think they've done a great job of that. I thought he looked comfortable yesterday. I didn't know how his athleticism would translate to the NFL. At Oregon, we saw him run around, make some plays with his legs, buy some extra time, and actually play pretty well yesterday. So I think for your first time out, not knowing you were going to play, you're going against the Super Bowl champs, home opener, the first time you're ever playing in this stadium, I thought there was a lot to like. It's going to be pretty hard, in my opinion, for Tyrod Taylor to get that job back, because once fans get a glimpse of their first round top 10 rookie quarterback, and he does that well against the Super Bowl champs, I think he's going to stick for a while.
Jacob Hester's our guest. All right, let's go back to the Chiefs and some of the LSU talent they have on the squad. Look, Tyrann Mathieu, there could not have been a more successful free agent signing, I mean, in recent history that I could think of, than the Chiefs signing Honey Badger last year. He transforms the defense not only on the field but off the field with his leadership. He was unbelievable and still is in the community and doing things that people don't see off the football field. And then all he does is make big plays. It was everything the Chiefs could have hoped for and more, and they expected a lot. And so you know all about Tyrann Mathieu. It's almost impossible to put into words what he's meant to this franchise in a season and a half so far.
Look, I'm not just saying this because I'm on radio in Kansas City. My wife's sitting next to me. She would call me out if I was lying. My two favorite LSU players in the history of LSU football are Clyde and Tyron. I truly just appreciate everything that they did for LSU, but how they handled themselves outside of the playing field as well. And obviously Tyron went through some struggles, but the best part about Tyron is he owned up to him. He didn't try to blame somebody else. He said, hey, that's all on me. I've got to make a change. He made that change, and boy, I mean, he has done nothing but great things. You mentioned it, in the community. And it doesn't matter, you know, Houston, Phoenix, now they're in Kansas City, giving back to Baton Rouge. He didn't even finish his career, right? He didn't finish his career at LSU, but he still gives back to this community. He gives back to LSU. And he has completely changed, you know, the things that he struggled with for a little bit. Tyron is such a special person to have on your football team. He is going to be a leader from day one, right? And you can see that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Seeing him come into this defense and become the leader that he is for this team. He's an X factor. He's been an X factor on and off the field ever since he got into the NFL, but he's always been one on the field. I mean, this is a guy that can cover your tight end. He can cover your back out of the backfield. He can play deep coverage as a deep safety on your fastest receiver. You know he's going to be close to the line of scrimmage and make a play, you know, in ways that a lot of people just can't. So, man, I just love his story. I love, you know, how he changed things that look like, okay, well, he gets kicked off the LSU team. He's just going to go away. You're never going to hear from that guy again. He didn't allow that to happen. And so many people gave up on him, but he did not give up on himself. And I always appreciate that. I mean, this is a guy that I could call right now, and anything that I needed, he would do it for me. Same thing with Clyde. And that's not just because of who I am. That's just because that's the type of people that they are. And so if you would have ever told me as a former Charger and a former Bronco that I would be sitting there on most game days and rooting for the Chiefs, I would have called you a liar. But those two guys make me do it because that's how special they are.
Come on, Jacob. It feels good, doesn't it? It feels good. I mean, it's kind of there's a freedom to it.
I can promise you one thing. The only thing I'll never do, I don't speak in absolutes very often. The only thing I'll never do is root for the Raiders. It doesn't matter if my son's there playing for the Raiders. I'm not rooting for them.
And do I like you? way you talk about football and everything.
You just got yourself a return invitation on this show, sir.
Oh, man. but now. Jacob, I need your assistance before we let you go here, because my co-host Nate is a faithful and loyal Kansas graduate, and he's searching for answers right now after Kansas getting handled by Coastal Carolina in Game One this season, and they're getting ready to play Baylor this weekend. So you played for Les Miles. Les Miles is trying to turn Kansas around. Can you give some words of encouragement to Nate Bucati about Les Miles and Kansas?
Yeah, I love Les, and Les is a father figure to me. And my youngest son is named Memphis Miles after Coach, and so he means a lot to me and my family, and I've got faith in him. I'm not sitting here trying to talk bad about the Jayhawks, but there was a lot of hurdles that any coach that came in was going to face with that job, right? The coach realized he wasn't going to be there, stopped recruiting. They finished in the hundreds, you know, in recruiting before Les came there and tried to put a class together. I think one time we looked and they were behind Bethune-Cookman and Dartmouth as far as recruiting class when the prior coach left. And so it was always going to be an uphill battle. Les, if there's a silver lining, he has finally gone to the spread offense. It looks like they are fully bought in to the spread offense, you know, no longer dotting the I with the toss die that a lot of people remember Coach Miles for at LSU. Puka Williams is a guy that can be a star. The Coastal Carolina loss, yeah, obviously you don't want to lose to a Sun Belt team, but I do think that's a team that's going to win a lot of games. You lost to them a year ago, so now you got to find a way just to move on and continue to win games in the Big 12. Like, you won one last year against Texas Tech. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's been a while since you won a Big 12 game. And so just trust the process. Trust Les. If you can get to 3 or 4 Big 12 wins, that's an absolute winning season for Kansas, because it was just going to be a full rebuild with the way that it was left to Les. I love some of the coaches he has on his staff there. One of my former teammates, Chevis Jackson, is a DB's coach. I think he's a rising star in the coaching ranks. And so I realize it's tough, but just give him some time, because I think with some time, you'll start to see more wins.
There you go, Nate. See?
All right.
Now, see, now this may be a tougher task considering the upcoming schedule. Make me feel better about Missouri starting the season against Alabama, at Tennessee, and at LSU. What the hell is this all about? That's fine. I get it. But tell me LSU lost everything and they're just not going to be that good this year. Lie to me. Something. I don't care.
I wish I could give you a better pep talk. You know, you're playing Alabama this week. I believe you have 12 people that are going to be missing because of COVID or another injury. So it's going to be a challenge. Now, Eli Drinkwitz, I do think, is the guy. We've had him on our SEC show a number of times. He is not running from the challenge. He accepts it, and he realizes that they got, you know, as about a draw as you could when they added those two additional games, but he's still not hiding from it. And I do think you have the right person in place. We've seen Missouri be successful in the SEC when they first got into the league, and T.J. Moe was catching touchdown passes. I mean, they were having a lot of success back then. So they can get there. It's just finding the right guy that can get them back there. And that's not against, you know, Barry Odom. I think Barry Odom did some good things, but they're looking for great things. And I do think Eli Drinkwitz can truly be that guy. Just talking X's and O's with him, he truly understands it. He also understands, look, I don't have to have the best talent, because at App State, maybe they didn't have the best talent at times. But what they did is they went out there and they executed better than the team across from them. So as far as X's and O's, as far as mentality, I think they truly have the right guy at Mizzou. And, look, the SEC East is a little top-heavy with Georgia and Florida right now. I'm a big fan of what Kentucky's doing. But there is a tier that you can try to get into this year. It's that Tennessee-Kentucky tier right under Florida and Georgia. And Mizzou has every opportunity to get into that tier. Now, how do they weather the storm at the beginning is going to be the question. As you mentioned, pretty tough matchups out of the gate.
Jacob, love talking football with you, man. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. Hopefully we can talk to you again real soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. I appreciate y'all having me on.
That is Jacob Hester. Played at LSU, where he won a national championship under Les Miles. Played for the Chargers. Played there with Darren Sproles, you remember, and with the Broncos, and now doing radio and TV down in Louisiana and on Sirius XM. Nate Bucati, I think he did as good of a job as possible at making us feel better about what's going to be happening over the next couple of weeks. So, all right.
I love the fact that his favorite two players in LSU history are playing for the Chiefs right now.
And he played for the Chargers and Broncos, and now roots for the Chiefs. He made everyone feel good today. Thank you, Jacob Hester.
Doesn't root for the Raiders.
You know what? Well, that's even funnier. And back after this on WHB.